32 days to the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections. Hashtag Stop Galamsey Now still on. Hello, good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News. The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi. We're on Love 99.5 FM, myjoyonline.com. We're live in all 16 regions of Ghana, ATL FM in Cape Coast, Gangai FM in Jirapa. We're on X Spaces, you're on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. This afternoon, Attorney General Godfred Yeboah-Dammé reveals several arbitration disputes involving Ghana running into billions of cedis could have collapsed the local economy, but for swift intervention. Interventions by government.
Can bring the economy of a developing country as Ghana to its knees. In point of fact, over the past 4 years, the value of arbitral claims against the Republic has been in excess of $9 billion.
We have details as government takes steps to amend the Contracts Act to make Ghana the seat of arbitration. Also, no individual or organization is above the Constitution. Attorney General's call on the General Legal Counsel to sanction lawyers who intentionally denigrate the judiciary.
The situation where lawyers propound false constitutional theories on radio, misconduct themselves in court and in public, but the General Legal Counsel fails to apply the relevant sanctions, contributes to the erosion of respect for the legal profession.
We'll also get to hear from the new president of the Ghana Bar Association, who is focused on protecting the environment.
Our collective efforts will definitely yield results as we remain resolute in our resolve not to shortchange ourselves where our environment is concerned.
Also in this bulletin is the recall of Parliament on November 7 in danger. We'll get to hear from the South Dye MP who has sued the Speaker. Other High Court NPP flag bearer Dr. Mahmood Balmia retweets commitment to slash electricity costs by 50% with the introduction of solar power.
Ghana, you have oil and gas, so you have to change and go for solar power. You have solar power to generate electricity.
And then flag bearer John Mahama accuses NPP of concealing energy debt, which he says has plunged the country into a new form of doomsday.
Now,
what they are doing is managing the debt little by little, knowing that the NDC will be the next government, so they can hand over the burden to us.
And their sports.
Over a quarter of Ghana Premier League matches played and an unlikely team is mounting an early chase for the title.
And then we'll focus on the cholera spread in the central region and part of the Greater Accra region. That and more on the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. Please do stay on for details. Many thanks for your company. This is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. This afternoon, the Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Godfred Yeboah-Dammé, says Ghana's economy could have collapsed if some arbitration challenges against the state succeeded. Speaking at the first ever public sector lawyers conference in Accra, Godfred Dammé explained that had it not been for the spirited defense put up by his office, the state would have paid more than $9 billion in international arbitral awards, with about 13 trillion cedis in local actions filed against the state.
Can bring the economy of a developing country as Ghana to its knees. In point of fact, over the past 4 years, the value of arbitral claims against the Republic has been in excess of $9 billion. And as such, it's huge to illustrate the point. The financial claim by ENI Vitor against Ghana, which was initially $7 billion and subsequently reduced to $15 billion after challenging the cost of proceeds by Ghana. In fact, any of these amounts, $7 billion or $950 million, could have collapsed the Ghanaian economy. By the grace of God, this financial claim was totally dismissed in its entirety by the International Arbitral Tribunal. Cashless Value Limited's claim against the government of Ghana has a value of about $300 million. GCNet's arbitral claim involves a claim of over 4 billion Ghana cedis, the equivalent of about $250 million. The recently filed Milan arbitration claim against government of Ghana also involves a claim of over $320 million. These are just a sample of a few of the international arbitration claims against Ghana. Domestically, there have been claims in Ghana in excess of over 15 million Ghana cedis, successfully defended by the Office of Attorney General against the state. I know this conference will be a seminal step in improving the legal framework within the public sector and the interactions with public-private partnerships.
The Attorney General says he has put before Cabinet documents to ensure that the Contract Act is amended to make Ghana the seat of arbitration.
We cannot stand the prejudice Ghana and the whole of Africa in general often suffers in such arbitration fora. It is quite curious that in some instances, companies which fail to make out any claim in our domestic courts succeed in extremely huge international arbitration actions, sometimes mounted on the back of contracts which have failed to receive the relevant statutory and constitutional approvals in the countries in which they operate. This phenomenon is not because of the weakness and disadvantages of African countries or indeed Ghana's, but simply because of the nature of international arbitration, particularly the secrecy of proceedings, flexibility of rules, and the finality or non-appealability of awards, which I've just referred to. It should not be misconstrued as saying that Ghana or any African nation should shy away from international arbitration.
That's the Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Godfrey Eboadami, there speaking at the first ever Public Sector Lawyers Conference in Accra. And a member of our Legal Affairs Desk, Kwaku Asante, was at the conference for us. He joins us in the studios. Kwaku, let's talk more about the savings the AG spoke about.
Well, yes, we know that the President has spoken about, the AG has spoken about this in the past. Today, he has been giving out quite some details, particularly this $7 billion that government was at risk of paying if the government did not mount some spirited defense in international arbitration disputes to forestall them again. There's also the matter of this 13 trillion Ghana cedis that have been filed against the state in local court, and the AG's department have been working to actually quash them and put them away. And so, according to the Attorney General, his department, together with the presidency, will always mount spirited defense against any challenges that are filed against them, in which it will lead the state to pay such amount of money. But the president, who was the guest of honor at this event, MFA, has been talking about how he is going to ensure that the state lawyers in all the MMDAs across the country have the necessary resources to be able to do their work properly.
As the complexities of civil litigation deepen, the criminal justice landscape is also rapidly evolving. Advances in technology, in a society that is ever more aware of its rights, demand that we continue to build a public legal service fit for the 21st century. I support fully the Attorney General's drive to develop a modern, resourceful public legal service equipped and empowered to meet these new challenges. Indeed, since 2017, we have made significant strides to build this service. We have recruited 119 more state attorneys, including 70 whose appointments will soon be finalized. This recruitment represents almost half of the lawyers currently in the office of the Attorney General. Our efforts have also extended to legal departments across state-owned institutions, whose staff strength has more than doubled. Today, some 600 public lawyers stand ready to serve.
President,
supporting these lawyers goes beyond numbers.
President Akufo-Addo there speaking at the Public Lawyers Conference a while ago. We'll stay a while longer on the Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Godfrey Eboadami. He says no institution or individual in Ghana has sovereign authority over the Constitution, addressing the swearing-in ceremony of the new president and executives of the Ghana Bar Association. Mr. Dami underscored the Constitution's role as a nation's supreme law. He highlighted that this supreme law entrusts the judiciary with the final judicial authority, affirming that every individual or institution, including the president, is subject to the judiciary's power to interpret and apply the laws of Ghana without exception.
I have said time and again, judges are often called to make difficult decisions on some of the most complex questions arising from the actions and conduct of persons in this country. They are decisions that very few of us would feel comfortable making. However, it is judges who, with their wisdom derived from long experience, training and discipline, will make such decisions in furtherance of the principle that justice should be done according to law. In this country, no institution or individual has sovereignty. In accordance with Article 1 of the Constitution, sovereignty resides in the people of Ghana, and the Constitution is the supreme law of Ghana. That supreme law of Ghana has vested the judiciary with final judicial power. Every individual or institution, including the person who takes precedence over all in the country, the president, is subject to the court's power to interpret and apply the laws of Ghana without question. This principle, observed in all civilized societies around the world, has nothing to do with the theories of independence of certain institutions and their procedures. Thus, whatever procedures are utilized by any institution in this country for the conduct of its activity must comply with the Constitution and the laws of Ghana. A default of same will render such procedures liable to be declared by the courts as unconstitutional or illegal. It is as simple as that, and it is non-negotiable.
Well, the president of the Ghana Bar Association, Efu Agate, wants lawyers to be resolute in the protection of the environment.
Our collective efforts will definitely yield results as we remain resolute in our resolve not to shortchange ourselves where our environment is concerned. As we move towards our general elections on the 7th of December 2024, I commend the significant role lawyers have played in educating the populace on the entire electoral process through the well-fought cases handled in the courts, especially the televised election petitions heard by the Supreme Court in 2013 and 2021. The media has been helpful in bringing court proceedings to our doorsteps. These elections should be handled in a transparent, free, and fair manner.
And that's the GBA president, Efu Agate. Now, Parliament is expected to reconvene on November 7, that is on Friday, for an urgent session. But that could be in danger as the Member of Parliament for South Dai constituency, Roxanne Nelson Dafamakbo, in a move to halt the recall of Parliament to sue the Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin, at the High Court here in Accra. The MP is asking the court to, among other things, affirm the Speaker's declaration that the four incumbent members of Parliament have indeed vacated their seats. Well, let me bring in our parliamentary affairs correspondent, Kwaku Asante, on this. Kwaku, essentially, what does the suit actually mean for the reconvening on Friday?
Well, so MFA, actually, Parliament is expected to reconvene on November 7, which is Thursday. That is barely 48 hours away, and this MP has filed this action at the High Court seeking to stop Parliament from being recalled. He says that until and unless there is clarity and the legal disputes around whether or not those four MPs have vacated their seat is dealt with, it should not be possible that Parliament will reconvene. And so, first off, he expects that Parliament of Ghana will deal with this matter, and then a final conclusion will be made on these four MPs before Parliament will reconvene. He's asking the High Court to make a determination that the Speaker rightly actually determined that by virtue of Article 99(1)(g) and H, these four MPs have actually vacated their seats, and that Parliament did, the Speaker of Parliament did right by declaring those seats vacant. And as long as these matters remain outstanding by virtue of the Supreme Court's stay of execution on that matter, Parliament should not be allowed to reconvene. If you look at the face of this action, he has not filed for an interlocutory injunction. Okay. And so we do not know if the Speaker of Parliament is going to act on this or not. My understanding is that the Speaker's office has been served. And if on Thursday the Speaker of Parliament carries through with this recall of Parliament, he may make a determination on the floor as to whether or not, by virtue of this seat, the Parliament of Ghana could go ahead and sit or not, MFA.
Well, we're working the lines, and we'll reach the South Dai MP himself, Roxanne Nelson Dafamakbo, on this particular issue and what exactly he's hoping would happen as a result of the suit that he's actually filed. But let's head into the election headquarters now.
Election Headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, Shopbox Technologies, a convenient service, Youth Break Foundation, Bridging the Gap for Positive Youth Development, and Syntex Tanks. Aye strong, aye tough.
And your election headquarters is also brought to you by Potential Real Estate, your trusted partner in real estate. And the flag bearer of the new Patriotic Party, Dr. Mahmood Baumia, has reiterated his commitment to reducing the cost of electricity by 50% by introducing 20,000 megawatts of solar power if elected president on December 7. Speaking during his Ashanti regional campaign tour, Dr. Baumia says the next NPP government will work tirelessly to reduce the electricity cost to make it more affordable for businesses.
We share your electricity bills. Businesses debris, light bill no akoso. Ghana households, your light bill no akoso. The entire your light bill no akoso. They say your crack oil and gas. They dey buy Ghana. They both who so who am on a niyango. They dey buy na your light bill no akoso. My share sir, me who say yam fa a coin fufro. Your deep oil and gas ye chia ye bebre.
And my colleague Nana Buachi Dankwaye Adom is with the team, joins us on the line. It's day 2 out of 15. What is Dr. Baumia up to?
Well, MFR, day 2 of the Ashanti Regional Tour of the Vice President, he's off to 3 constituencies, that's Ofenso North and Ofenso South and then Efija Kwabre North constituency. He'll be having a stakeholders engagement in each of these constituencies and hold mini rallies when he is about wrapping up his tour in each of these particular constituencies. And so day 2 is a 3-day tour of Ofenso North, Ofenso South, and Efija Kwabre North.
Adia Obahi Betobia, Yen Shushem no Wagana mo first, before I am thinking about importing it. Because then we are out of the position. Didi I ever say at all, Yoko Kra. But oh, Kranwa.
Dr. Baumia there retreating the call for buying made in Ghana goods. Now to the camp of the NDC, and presidential candidate John Dramani Mahama has criticized the governing NPP for what he describes as a silent accumulation of debt in Ghana's energy sector, which he says has led to a new form of doomsday. Speaking during his campaign tour in the Oti region, he accused the NPP of planning to pass this financial burden to the next government. However, he assured that the future NDC government under his leadership is capable, has capable people ready to tackle the energy debt and stabilize the sector.
Enti ni omo ye ne se omo kure mu kakra so mo ni se NDC na eba na dumso a omo di aba no dumso foforo omo di aba yi na omo apia ase NDC so.
What they are doing is managing the debt little by little, knowing that the NDC will be the next government, so they can hand over the burden to us. Currently, they owe nearly $2 billion to foreign investors in the energy sector. Their goal is to delay repayment until January 7, when they expect the new NDC government to take on the debt. But I urge Ghanaians not to lose hope. When we assume office, we'll reveal the full scope of the debt and address it. We have the men and women capable of solving this issue to bring relief to Ghanaians.
So, my catcher Ghana for me and Papa, NDC and credit for. Yajia, your bachelor moon near Oho. Now your money, mamma. You bet me a sum. Near CC, near Yen Ye. Send a bear Ghana for Hobetom.
Well, Mr. Dramani Mahama has also promised to invest heavily in infrastructure in the Oti region if elected. He announced plans to build a public university, a regional hospital, a sports stadium, and a regional police command headquarters. My colleague Maxwell Agbagba is with the team. As and when we are able to raise him, we'll bring that to you. We'll also head to the camp of the Movement for Change, and the leading member of the Alan Kwejocha Mantin's campaign for president team, Hope Sinadoye, says the flag bearer of the Movement for Change will be the first independent candidate to be elected as president in Ghana. Thereby rescuing Ghanaians from the mess created by the ruling New Patriotic Party.
At an engagement with voters in the Bono East region as part of campaign strategies ahead of the December 7 polls, Hope Sinadoye a key figure of Alan Kuji Tremantin's Movement for Change, also known as the Afanfanto Alliance, noted that Alan Tremantin will be the first independent candidate to be voted as president in Ghana's history. According to him, Alan Tremantin's legacy speaks highly of him, and Ghanaians will give him the credit on December 7.
This is what we are doing to make sure we have the voter contact. We will not go and bus people to one place, be on the stage, dance, shout, and then come home. No, that we are moving from constituency to community to community is very effective more than putting people together. So that is the main reason of the campaign. And I'm confident that, I'm very optimistic that.
And that's Anas Sabit's report. Apologies for that poor quality there. And polls have opened in various states in the United States. And of course, your election headquarters, we're bringing you America Decides later tonight. And head of our political desk and senior editor here at Joy News, Evans Mensah, joins me in studio. What are we to expect tonight as America Decides?
Yeah, we go live at 12 a.m. Why 12 a.m.? Because we're expecting that we will be closer to the closing of polls in the eastern part of the U.S., the East Coast, New York, and some of the other very important states. We are also watching the Rust Belt states like Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. And we have, you know, colleagues across states in the U.S. who are going to be joining us, some of them actually voting themselves, some of them watching on, some colleague journalists of ours who will be joining us, giving us live reports on the ground. And guess who we have in the studio? Sekou Nkrumah is going to be in the studio with us. You know, he spent almost his entire life in the U.S. He recently has returned. Yeah. And so...
The luckiest
star 712 us.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah. The luckiest.
Thanks for staying with us. Sports time. Mubarak.
Yep. So, 9 out of the 34 matches have been played so far in the Premier League. And MFA, your darling club, Hearts of Oak, they are currently in 8th position.
8th.
While Asante Kotoko, yes, are in 3rd place. And guess what? BBN Gold Stars, they are sitting at the top of the table, 3 points clear, and the only unbeaten side this season. However, their head coach, Frimpong Mansun, is not getting carried away.
It's now 9 out of 34, and you cannot say, oh, everything is done. No, although we are, we will continue to work harder like we've been doing since day one. So for me, I'm not thinking about the title. What I'm thinking of is our next game. In terms of attacking, we are doing well, and defensively, we are also doing well. So for me, it will urge us to continue to do or improve on what we've been doing.
Yeah, Frimpong Mansun is the head coach of BBN Gold Stars.
How is our darling Black Stars? You're ready for the game?
Well, yeah, we expect Otuado to announce his call-up on Friday. So, yeah, let's see.
Hopefully, Andre Dede Ayew will be
here. Yeah, we expect.
All right, then. Thank you. Now, let's focus on cholera. And 3 municipal chief executives in the central region have begun implementing urgent measures to curb the spread of cholera, especially in hard-hit areas like Kaswa in the Owutu Senya East District. The disease has already claimed 5 lives, while over 100 suspected cases have been recorded. The spread has been linked to many factors, including unhygienic conditions and the cut in flow of clean water due to the Kaswa Winneba Road construction. We can hear the Owutu Senya MCA, Anita Love Obo Mensah.
The Municipal Assembly, in collaboration with the Health Directorate, it's been phenomenal in a sense that most of the PPEs that they need is being supplied. Education is still ongoing. And then disinfection, even this morning, it is going on at the polyclinic itself. Now we are disinfecting all taxis that comes in with the patients as well. So there has been a lot of interventions. Sanitation issues, we are also on course. In fact, we realized that some of the areas that the patients were coming from was because of water. So the assembly has started distributing water to such places. The protocols in terms of washing hands with soap and the running water, and then eating hot meals, these are the things that we are telling people about. And the treatment is free.
And that's the Ewutu Senya MC. We've also been hearing from the Municipal Health Director, Dr. Stanley Edu, indicating that 26 cases have been treated and discharged. And that's our news for today here on Joy 99.7 FM, on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, myjoyonline.com, on X Spaces, on Facebook, and